This episode is brought to you by BundleRabbit.com, Earth's most accessible book bundling marketplace. Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of 24 books, 34 short stories, and countless articles and scripts and essays, and I am your guide on this quest to raise your output to pulp speed levels and to explore the cracks and crevices of business and craft in the writing life. Welcome to The Questions, episode 309.
You know, between deadlines and holidays, I completely failed to notice my buffer lapse, so I'm sorry. But now I'm back. Today, I've got Robert asking,
repetition helps with stories for young readers. When does this become less important or a problem?
Well, Robert, it depends on the kind of repetition you're talking about. Repetition is a useful technique rhetorically and poetically in many, many instances. Repetition becomes a problem, even in children's novels, when you're merely stating and restating the very, very obvious to no particularly good effect and for no particularly good reason. Unmotivated repetition, the constant reviewing and recapping of what has gone before, grinds the system to a halt. This is your enemy. If you can work in recaps here and there about what is going on in a way that doesn't draw attention to itself, and doesn't eat up plot space, and doesn't feel unnatural, then you can use as much of it as you want, and no one will care. And if you have a particularly complicated story or plot, like what happens in the Dune novels, for example, that kind of thing can be very useful to your readers. It can sometimes be the only way that you'll keep your audience. But you have to do it without letting your audience notice that you're doing it. More effective than simple repetition is development. You introduce an idea in chapter one, maybe it's a little hint of backstory. Then in chapter two, something happens that requires the mentioning of more of the backstory and developing it out. Then, every time you encounter something, you don't so much recap what the audience already knows as you touch on it briefly and then deepen that knowledge by introducing new confounding information that changes their view of what they've learned before. And then it's not repetition, it's storytelling. Now, when it comes down to the matter of details and descriptions, there are two basic schools of thought with regards to repetition. One of them is don't. Just don't do it. Your character is introduced who has blonde hair, you mention her blonde hair once, then if you want to refresh your audience's image, you can use a different word, you can come at it from a different angle, or your main character notices how the uneven light flooded her hair with yellow highlights, that kind of thing. But you don't want, she brushed a blonde strand of hair out of her face. You want to find ways to draw attention to the fact of the blonde hair without mentioning over and over and over and over as if blonde hair is important, because it's not. It's part of the texture of the world, and it helps your audience stick in the scene as long as it's part of the background and they can see it. But not if it comes out and slaps them in the face and screams, I'm blonde, damn it, notice me! We all knew that kid in elementary school, and we didn't like him then either. And he was always blonde, which is a part I never figured out. Anyway, the other school of thought is to tag your characters. This was Lester Dent's technique for making fast-paced events featuring a multitude of characters and complex plots easy to follow. All of his characters had distinguishing features. One carried a cane, one carried a sword, one wore lots of hats, one looked like an orangutan, one would speak in an overly loquacious manner that never failed to take advantage of the polysyllabic nature of the English language and all the multifarious synonyms available to every simple direct word. I've just described Doc Savage's whole support team because I remember the character tags. This can work really well. But when you do it, there is a particular art to it, and you would probably be well served by studying the way Lester Dent, aka Kenneth Robeson, which is his Doc Savage pen name, did things when he was writing the Doc Savage books. He was a master of doing it this way. Tagging like this is an old art. It goes all the way back to the Homeric hymns, which are some of the oldest, the very oldest surviving poetry in the world, way, way back before the Odyssey. If you ever go back to read Greek mythology, you can always tell when the story is pulled from one of these hymns because every character has its tag, usually as an appellation. Aphrodite is the golden or the laughter-loving, Zeus is the mighty or the wise, Apollo is the shining, not to be confused with Stanley Kubrick. And those adjectives appear before their name every time they're talked about, which gets really annoying unless you're hearing them sung. These hymns were designed to be sung, and that's the kind of thing that works better in song form than it does just reading it off the page. So those are the two general approaches that work really well. Most of the middle ground approaches I've seen don't work well at all. They come across as insulting, or as if the author is still typing while ruminating or groping around in the dark. If you're prone to doing that, this is the kind of thing that's sometimes worth trim consideration when you're proofing your books. Recapping and retreading places your audience has already been is generally a losing game, and telling them things they already know, unless there's a good reason to remind them of it, is also a losing game. Repetition for the sake of rhetorical flourish, or emotional resonance, or point of view integrity, or dramatic effect, that can work very, very well. This is a poetic technique that is your friend in the narrative arts, especially when used selectively as opposed to indiscriminately. I don't know if these are the kinds of repetition you had in mind, but those are the ones that popped into my mind when you asked the question. So if I missed the point, if you had some other kind in mind, please repeat your question. Send it to me again, but a little more specific this time, and I'll try to get a more useful answer headed your way. But thank you so much for sending it in, and this time, I really will see you tomorrow.
The Everyday Novelist is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions. Visit our website at everydaynovelist.com and leave a tip in the tip jar or join the Patreon to support this podcast. The Everyday Novelist is copyright 2017 J. Daniel Sawyer and Artistic Whispers Productions, Inc., and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License.